はい。
Good morning. All right. My name is Corey Johnson, one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church. And I just want to say thank you for braving it out this morning and joining us in the earlier service. If you notice, my attire has changed a little bit. If you were here before, I just had a shirt on and I texted my wife this morning to say, could you please bring a sweater for me? So yesterday on the weather app, it said that it would have been 7 degrees warmer today than yesterday. So I shaved my head, dressed lightly. And when I came outside, I was like, oh no, this is not happening. So thank you, honey, for I feel much better now. With that said, as Pastor Greg said, today we start a brand new series, I Am. And the intent here is that over the next several weeks leading up to Easter, we're going to be looking at several I Am statements in the book of John. And we want to see what Jesus says or who Jesus claims himself to be. What's interesting is that if you look at the gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find where people are always coming up with different ideas or perspective or notions of who Jesus is. And in a sense, he doesn't do much to really clarify their thinking of him or their perception of him. But in the book of John, you see where he declares himself to be the light of the world, the bread of life, or the truth, the way and the life. And the reality is that if these things are true, and indeed they are, it has implications on how we live in the world today. Amen? And so today we want to unpack one of those statements, I am the bread of life, and see what that says about who Jesus is and how we ought to respond and engage the world in which we live. And so if you have your Bibles handy, could you turn with me to St. John chapter 6? St. John chapter 6, and we're going to be reading from verse 25 to 35. St. John chapter 6. And let me just set the context here as you're looking for that. The day before this, there was a crowd of people that was following Jesus, and they had gotten to a certain spot in the country where their access to food was very limited. And Jesus saw their need, and he responded to their need in the sense that he fed the 5,000. It's a feeding of the 5,000. And the Bible says that there were 5,000 men, not including women and children. So you get the sense that the crowd, the people that was following Jesus, was much larger. Amen? And the Bible says that Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he fed the multitude. But what happened was that in the evening, Jesus, the Bible says that, man, they were so excited about what Jesus did that they wanted to make him the Messiah. They wanted to put him as king, but Jesus retracted, he backed away, and he hid himself. In the evenings, the disciples went to the other side of the sea. In the night, Jesus came walking on the water, and in the morning, they found themselves on the other side. But the people who were following Jesus were still on the other side. And the Bible says that they looked around, they were looking around, but they couldn't find Jesus. And so they decided, you know what, let's also go to the other side. And so that's where we pick it up this morning. The Bible says here that when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? What's interesting here is Jesus' response. Notice what Jesus does. He does not respond to their question, but he responds to their motivation for seeking him. Oh, we're going to get deep this morning. He says, Jesus answers, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate loaves and had your fill. Jesus continues, says, do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, the Father has placed his seal of approval. What Jesus is saying here, when he talks about his seal of approval, he's saying that Jesus is the only one that is authorized to grant eternal life. That means that you can't find eternal life in nothing else, no one else, except through Jesus Christ. He continues, says, then they ask him, what must we do the works of the Father that the Father requires? Jesus answers, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they ask him, what sign? Notice what happened here. He had already performed a sign of feeding of the 5,000, and now they're still asking for another sign. He says, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then notice that, you know, they thought that Moses was the one who did this, but Jesus is going to correct their theology. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now they get all excited. Ooh, this sounds exciting. It says, sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Could you bow your heads as we approach God's word this morning? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, God, for your presence that is here amongst your people. God, truly it is with humble hearts and minds that we seek your face this morning. And we're asking you, God, to open up our hearts and our minds and our ears and our eyes to see the truth that is in your word. But above all, Holy Spirit, we're asking you to do a work on the inside, do a work on the heart that will enable us to, through your power, to conform to the image of Christ. God, we ask these and other mercies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was preparing for this message this morning, I did some research on the different types of bread. And I was shocked. I'm not a big bread eater. and I don't do the shopping in the house. You know, my wife tends to do that. And I was shocked at the different types of bread that exist. You have white bread, you have wheat bread, you have whole bread, you have multigrain bread, you have whole grain bread, you have sprouted grain bread, you have sourdough bread, you have rye bread. I mean, and the list goes on and on, right? Not only are there different types of bread, they come in all different shapes and all different sizes. Yes? Okay, let's pause right here. Okay, we've done this before, right? So, don't leave me up here to preach by myself. Okay, talk to me. Right? So there are different types of bread. Yes? Good. Right? But what's interesting about these different types of bread is that each one of these bread have a different nutritional value. When I was growing up, I grew up on white bread. White bread. And whenever we wanted bread, we either went to the store to buy bread, you know, which was prepackaged. But one of the best breads that we had was when we went to the actual bakery to actually get the bread. And you had to, there was a line. They took it right out of the oven and they put it right in the plastic bag. And man, it was good, warm and everything like that. And you couldn't wait to get home to eat it because, you know, it was warm. It was just juicy and everything like that. We would have it with butter. We would have it with avocados. We would have it with water. We'd have it with sugar and water. We would have it with, I mean, you name it, we'd have bread with it. Right? But bread. And the truth and the reality of the matter is that bread is a staple diet across many nations in the world today. But as we think of bread, though, I want us to look at bread this morning. And as we think about Jesus being the bread of life, we want to look at different aspects of what that means, that Jesus is the bread of life. Yes? And one of the first things that I want to talk to you this morning about, or bring out this morning, and the truth that I want to bring out this morning, is that Jesus is the everlasting bread of life. He is the everlasting bread of life. So he is the Awesome. So as we look at the text this morning, we see here where Jesus, it says here, Jack, Jesus declares, I am the bread of life. And if you recall that when you look at the word I am, it's talking about a personal present tense. Yes? I am. And when I think about that, it harkens back, or it reminds me, if you will, of a phrase that God used, or the personal name that God used to disclose himself to Moses. If you recall in the book of Exodus chapter 3 verse 14, where God had called Moses and said, hey, I'm going to send you out to free my people. And Moses was like, okay, I'm all excited about it. Well, he wasn't really excited about it, but he said, God, if the people ask me, what is your name? What should I tell them? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. And when we look at this word, I am, and we're going to look at it over the next several weeks, it's talking about the self-existing God. The one who existed before all creation. In fact, he is the one who created all things. Not only is he the one that created all things, but he's the one who sustains all things. And so when you're thinking about God, you're not just thinking about an object or somebody who is off in a distance, but he holds the fabric of the universe in his hands. And he's the one that is sustaining the world. Amen? And so when you think about that, and Jesus uses the word I am, he's conjuring up all these images, if you will. And I look at that, I'm like, if he is the self-existing one, he is always existing, and he's talking about the present, it means then that if he's the bread of life, he's always available. It is one thing to want bread, and you go to the bread shop, and there is no bread. Oh, you've never been there. Okay. There's one thing to want a drink of water, and you go to the refrigerator and there is no water. It's not available. But Jesus being the self-existing one, Jesus being the I am, Jesus being the one who is always present, means that he's always available. You could go to him in the morning, you could go to him at lunchtime, you could go to him in the midnight hour, you could go to him in the early morning hours. He is always available to you. Hello, somebody. He's the everlasting bread. Not only does he give eternal life, but he's always available. Your friend might not be available in the midnight hour, but you know what? Jesus is. Yeah, your husband might be sleeping in the midnight hour, but guess what? Jesus never sleeps. Well, you don't want to preach with me this morning. Okay. It's all right. It's cold outside. Okay. Not only is Jesus the everlasting bread of life, but Jesus is the fresh bread of life. Somebody say fresh.
Fresh.
When you have bread and you keep it out on the counter too long, what happens? It gets stale, right? And it gets hard, right? And what do you do with that? Hopefully you... please, never cut around the edges and try to... Oh, Lord, let me move on. You toss it out, right? It's been sitting out there too long. It's stale. It's no longer fresh. And because it's no longer fresh, it doesn't provide any nutritional value to me. But Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And when we're talking about being fresh here, we're really talking about that Jesus is relevant no matter what season of life you're in. Oh, I got me some work to do this morning. Okay. Listen, whenever you're living, are you living?
Yes.
I hope you are, because if you're not, we need to put you in a casket. Right? But whenever you're living, you're always living in the now. You are always living in the present. Yes, your yesterday informs your today, right? And in some sense, it sets you up for your future. But you never live in your past, and you can never live in your future. You're always living now. And I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, we tend to you know, whenever my wife cooks, and she cooks a lot, you know, we have leftovers. but the leftover only lasts so long. After a while, you have to throw it out because it gets stale, it gets old. The bread that you had yesterday, in that season of life, will not sustain you in this season of life. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And so it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you experience. Guess what? You need fresh bread every day. You need fresh bread for every season. In other words, Jesus is always going to be relevant. Jesus is always going to be important for every season of your life. You know, sometimes we look at this book and we think it's an old book. And because it's an old book, we tend to put it aside. Oh, it's not relevant to what I'm going through today. But I guarantee you, if you take it up and go through the pages of the scripture, you'll understand that it is not a dead word, it is a living word. And it will speak to you no matter what you're going through. Amen? Amen. Jesus is the bread of life. When you look at this life here, this word life here, there are two aspects to it. There are two dimensions to it. And the first is what we call bio-life. And that's really, you know, our natural life. It's really, you know, the life that you and I have. And the way we come into this life is by virtue of birth. Yes? How else are you? Okay. It's by virtue of birth. And that's how we experience and we interact and we go through this natural world, through bio-life. And if you're a biological being, you need biological food. Right? In other words, the food that you have has to be, the food that you eat has to be consistent with the nature of the thing being fed. Yes? You would never put bread in a car. Just doesn't work. It's just not compatible. Yes? So we eat biological food. Why? Because we are biological beings. But there's another sense here that life is not only just, when Jesus used life here, he's not only talking about natural life, but he's also talking about spiritual life. And if, you know, spirituality tends to be a buzzword these days, isn't it? Man, you hear everybody saying, oh, I'm just spiritual. I'm not religious. I'm just spiritual. What does that mean? Right? But when we talk about spirituality as a believer, and when we talk about spirituality from a biblical context, we're talking about someone who has a relationship with the living God. We're talking about your spiritual life. We're talking about being born again into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And just as a natural person needs natural food, guess what? A spiritual person needs... Oh, you're not talking to me this morning. You need spiritual food. And the reality is that I can eat this to get nourishment for my body. But I cannot eat this to get nourishment for my spirit. Why? Because the two are not compatible. The only place I can go to get food for my spiritual body is in the Word of God. And so if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to mature, if I'm going to be sustained and maintained and be nourished in my inner man, in my spirit man, I need to go to the Word of God. Amen? Amen? And so the question I have for us this morning is, how is your diet? Oh, Pastor, you're getting personal. Yes. How is your diet? How is your diet in the Word of God? Let me ask you a question. How many of us ate breakfast this morning? Some of you are eating right now. How many of you ate dinner last night? Ate lunch yesterday? Ate breakfast yesterday? Now, what would happen if you went a day without food? All right, 2 days, okay. Okay, 7 days without food. We get there, don't worry. Just as your physical body is hungry and starving and lacking nourishment if you don't feed it, your spiritual body is the same way. I got me some work to do this morning, okay. Do you see that? And so if we're not spending time in the Word of God, there's something lacking in our inner man. There's some, we are starving, we're dying. And we're gonna come to the we're gonna answer this question this morning. So, Pastor, we'll get there, don't worry. Jesus is the fresh bread of life. He's not only relevant for our natural bodies, but he's also relevant for our spiritual bodies. Jesus puts it this way: man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen? So, not only is Jesus the everlasting bread of life, not only is he the fresh bread of life, but he's also the fulfilling bread of life. Look at the text. He says here, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." In other words, Jesus is able to satisfy your needs. If you're hungry, he can satisfy that. If you're thirsty, he can satisfy that. Amen? And all of us in here, we have certain needs, some certain basic needs, right? We have a sense or a need for identity. Who am I? We have a sense for security. Will I be okay? And we have a sense for relationship or purpose. You know, am I alone as I'm going through this world? And guess what? At the heart of all of those desires and all of those needs and all of those issues is really our separation from God. It is when we are separated from God that we lose our identity. It's when we're separated from God that we feel alone and isolated and insecure. It's when we're separated from God that we feel as though our life doesn't have any meaning. But when we are born into the new life, when we have spiritual life, we are at peace with God, and therefore our life takes on meaning. Or we have a new identity. We have a new purpose. We have a new sense of security. I will be okay. I am going through this right now, but guess what? I'm going to be all right. Hello, somebody. Amen. Jesus is able to satisfy our needs. Amen? So the question is, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but how can I tell, Pastor, when I'm hungry or thirsty? Okay, you're not asking that question, but I'm asking that question for you. When you're naturally hungry, your body is a marvelous piece of work. When you're naturally hungry, man, you get some pain in your stomach, you know, your stomach starts to make some noise and it's saying, "Hey, I'm hungry, feed me." Yes? And it will not let up until you. When you're thirsty, your tongue becomes dry and you feel all dehydrated and everything like that. And it will not let up until you drink some water. So if my natural body has indicators to tell me when I'm hungry and when I'm thirsty, Pastor, so what are the spiritual indicators to tell me when I'm hungry or thirsty? Isn't that a good question? Yes. Glad you asked. You know that you're hungry and you know that you're thirsty when you are consumed by anxiety, worries, and doubt. You know that you're hungry, you know that you're spiritually thirsty when you are consumed by anxiety, worries, and doubt. There is something in your spirit, there's something in your inner man that is saying, "Feed me, feed me, feed me." And the way it's indicating that is by you worrying constantly. It's you having anxiety about every single thing. It's you having doubts about my future, about my destiny, about where I'm gonna go. That's an indicator that something is wrong. That's an indicator that you are hungry. And sometimes we satisfy it by trying to ignore it. Sometimes we try to appease it by drinking. Their kids, no, okay. By drinking our way out of it. Sometimes we try to satisfy it or fill it by engaging in illicit activities. But guess what? All that does is just feed you for a little while. After 30 minutes, after another hour, after another day, you are hungry again. Oh, am I not speaking the truth? They satisfy only for a little bit. It's like eating certain food, isn't it? I mean, you know, you're hungry and you eat certain, you know, food, and I won't name any foods. But you eat it and 30 minutes later you have the munchies. Don't leave me hanging here. But the Word of God, Jesus says, when you set your mind on the Word of God, when you set your minds on things above, the peace of God, hello somebody, the peace of God, it will guard your heart and your mind. In other words, you are not anxious for anything, but in everything, you with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you give praise to God. Do you see how that is working out? And so you might become angry, you're hungry. You might become overly bitter, you're hungry. You might become anxious and begin to get worried about things, you're hungry. Don't feed yourself with things that will only satisfy you for a minute or two. Feed yourself on the Word of God. Amen? Amen? One of the earliest memories I have of being a kid was when we lived in a certain community. And in the community, the women in the community used to make what we call bammy. Somebody say bammy. Yes, bammy. You can think of it as a flat pancake. It's white. It's made, how many of us know yuca, what yuca is? Yeah. So cassava, we call it cassava back home. It's made from that plant. But it was a long process to make this flat bammy. And I was just fascinated by how they were, you know, they were just putting it together and making everything. And so the woman that I was standing over and watching, she looked up at me and she took one of the bammies. It's like a flat pancake, white, in, you know, and she ripped it apart and she said to me, "Hold this. Hold this." So I took it from her and I held it. And I held it and held it and held it. And then a few minutes later, she looked at me and said, "Young man, are you still holding it?" "No, I meant eat it." You'll get the point. Quite often, I believe that as believers, what we're doing is that we're holding on to the Word of God. And we're not eating the Word of God. And I can guarantee you that as hungry as I am, and I'm holding on to this, it's not until I eat it that it's going to satisfy my hunger. I can hold on to it all day long. It will never satisfy me. I have to. In St. John chapter 6, verse 51, Jesus reiterates what he's saying. And he says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And whoever what? Will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." He's not talking about his physical flesh. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But he's talking about the Word of God. And so, as I thought about that, I said, you know what? I need to give you something to take away, something practical to take away. And I want to leave you with this acronym, EAT. Somebody say, "Eat the Word."
Eat the Word.
If you're going to eat the Word, simple three-step process. Examine for truth. So as you're studying, as you're going through, you're not just reading for knowledge, you're not just reading for information, you're trying to examine the Word for truth. Examine for truth. Number two, aim for understanding. And number three, think to apply. You see, we can become we can have so much information in our head that we forget the objective of having that information. It's not just to be a library. It's not just to say, "Okay, I have the answer to that question." No, it's so that you can live. And it's not until we begin to apply the Word that we begin to live the Word. Amen? So we examine for truth, we aim for understanding, and we
think.
And I love this audience. We think to apply. Live the Word. What was I was talking to my wife about this word this week, and she reminded me that All through her life, she had struggled with a skin issue, eczema. And she would go to the store, go to the doctor, and they would give her all these ointments to try to treat it. But it was on the surface. It would always come back. It was always come back. And it was not until she changed her diet that the eczema went away. Not only did it go away, but it stayed away. You might be here this morning and you're struggling with certain things. The question is, how is your diet? You might be here this morning and some things are beginning to resurface. You know those things that you thought was dead? Okay, you don't have to tell me, right? But you know what they are. Those things that you thought were dead, right? And they're beginning to resurface. How is your diet? It's not until you get into the Word of God, it's not until you start to eat the Word of God, that things will begin to change in your life. And if you stay in the Word, if you abide in the Word, they will stay away. Amen? 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 Eat the Word and live. Come on, say this with me. Eat the Word and live. One more time. Eat the Word and live. Amen? So from a practical standpoint, we're going through the book of John. Probably you start in the book of John. Go back to John chapter 1 and start there. You don't have to consume it all in one day. Let's take a few verses. Examine for truth. Aim for understanding. And think to apply. Amen?